But I want to share a couple things, and then we're going to show a short video. As I mentioned earlier, the group's gotten a lot bigger since we started worship, but my wife and I and a few others just got back from Nairobi, Kenya, from a missions trip, and I'm going to show a video of some of the things that we did and some of the needs that are actually there that we get to be a part of, which is kind of cool. And it's one of those things that you don't have to be a part of, but you can be a part of. It's a blessing too. But the thing is missions in general has been on my heart for a lot of years. In fact, I was trained to be a firefighter and did that for a few years, and God called me to full-time ministry and God called me to missions. And I know that it's a mission field here in Chico, but that there's also opportunity to go out into the world. And I'd encourage you to go on short-term missions. The church has the one every year to Mexico, and we're going to hopefully start having more to different places. I'm going to try to get the high school group, if your parents will let me, take you to Belize and maybe even Africa. An opportunity to share Jesus with the world. Now, when we went on this mission trip, I kind of had, and I don't know why, I know better, but I had this sense that I was going to be such a blessing. I was going to bestow my presence upon these people. And I was going to share this greatness that I have. Well, I was quickly humbled, and we get there after like 30 hours of travel, and you're exhausted, and we show up at the orphanage, and it's kind of in the middle of nowhere, and these beautiful children come running out, excited to see the Wazungas, the white people, and excited just because they knew we were going to come, and they had been prepared that we were going to teach them about the Bible. And the crazy thing is these kids already know Jesus. Now, we had prepared, when I say we, I mean somebody else, a simple plan for them. We did Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection, and we just covered the life of Jesus Christ. And we quickly realized that these kids, they truly understood the life of Jesus, and we went deeper and deeper and more Bible studies and memory verses, and it was so incredible to experience Jesus with these kids. And one of the things that I very quickly gathered from them, that they were people of faith, that they relied on the Lord for all their needs. And they don't always know where their next meal's coming from. There are times where they don't have food at the orphanage, and they just pray. And God provides. And they've seen that over and over. There's one story that stuck out to me that Winnie, the mom, was sharing, that they don't eat meat very often, maybe once a month, just because it's very expensive. And they had a little bit of money for meat, and they were just kind of, you know, they told the kids, we need to pray because we don't have enough money to buy the meat. And so they just kind of prayed, and all day went along. And Winnie just admitted that she kind of like gave up. And she was like, well, I guess I'll just go to town and buy what I can with the money that I have. And as she was leaving, somebody drove up to the orphanage, and she thought, I should probably greet them. And she gets out and greets the people that showed up, and they showed up with meat. They showed up with more than enough meat for the whole orphanage. And that's just one story of God providing just simple necessities like food. And the kids are prayer warriors. And it's so cool, as you'll see in the video, it's not this picture. And a lot of places, when they show an orphanage and they say, we need money or this or that, they show these orphans and they're not smiling and they look like sad. And you couldn't get these kids to look sad. I mean, even if we, and not that we tried, that's not right. But you couldn't have, because they have the joy of the Lord and they trust God for all of their needs, and they know He's going to provide. And I mean, at one point we're filming and I'm showing their little teeny house that they live in, and there's one of the kids. It was one of the twins, Amos or Kevin. I can't. They look a lot alike. They're twins, and he's dancing in the background, you know. And you're like, this poor house they live in, and he's just boogieing away. And the thing is, these kids just have joy. They have joy because they have Jesus. And so, as we show the video, as I do mention the need that they have, know that it's not a sob story and a poor them. It's hey. These guys love Jesus. Just so you know, they are losing their house. Somebody's actually evicting the orphans. I don't know how that person sleeps at night, but the reality is they have a need, and these kids are just trusting God, and they're loving God, and they taught me so much about faith. They taught me so much about prayer, and just to see their faces and the joy that they have is incredible. And so here I'm gonna stop yakking, and we're gonna show the video. And but just know that missions can change you. It's not just about going and blessing somebody else. In fact, I'm sure we were a blessing. I hope we were, but I know they blessed me more than I ever brought to them. And I would encourage you guys to pray about the mission field that you're in. Maybe it's not Africa, Mexico, Belize, you know, somewhere around the world, but pray about the mission field that God has you in. I know for our high schoolers, their mission field is practical and literal. It's the high schools that they go to, and they're kind of scary, dark places, and that's so encouraging because you're going back to school. But they're living that every day, but so often we don't realize that our jobs are mission fields, and maybe your home is a mission field, your neighborhood. We are on the mission field, and we are in a place where we need to share Jesus with the world around us. Is that video ready? All right, let's watch that, and then. So behind me is the small building where the 20 kids live, and there's just two little small rooms, a little area where they can eat, and a bathroom with no running water.
Jumbo from Africa. We're here at the Good Samaritan Orphanage, here with these beautiful young boys. This is the boys' room. There's one room only for 10 boys. Their ages about... I think about 5 or 6 to ages 16 years old, and they all stay in this one small room, and this is all we have right now for the orphanage, and we're hoping with the help of the church and others, anyone who's willing to give, that we can help them build the new orphanage that they've already poured the foundation for, but they have no more funding to finish it. And look at these beautiful young boys. Say hi, Jumbo!
Jumbo! Jumbo!
Jumbo!
10 girls all squished in this little room. You guys want to say hi?
Hi!
Thank you!
Thank you!
God bless you so much!
This is the outside bathroom that they have. You can see that it's, you know, it's very simple. But inside the house, it's even simpler. They just have some pots and a small room. So the one thing with the new building and the new orphanage is that they'd have running water, and they'd actually have bathrooms with flushing toilets and showers. So that's what we're hoping to help with.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves, yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. And we are his portion, and he is our prize.
One of the things that the kids have taught us is that they have amazing faith, and their trust in God is pure and strong, and their faith is also intense, and it's humbling to watch them pray. It's humbling to watch them trust in the Lord and just to see their great faith in their Savior.
The Holy Spirit, the King of Glory, when they are coming, they are going, they can praise. Oh, and getting the Holy Spirit, the umbrella of Jesus Christ. Oh, but I can't see that Jesus is going to be able to do joy against
them. And to help them, thank you, King of Glory, for this offering. Thank you for blessing us with your words. Thank you for blessing us with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for blessing us with your word. We receive the glory tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, I bless you all.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
As you guys can see, the kids are just happy, and they're beautiful, and the thing is they just love Jesus. And I got to be honest, that prayer time with them changed my life. It changed the way I view and look at prayer as I watch them just bow before the Lord and cry out and ask God for their needs. And I know God hears them, and God wants, and I believe that God wants us to be a part of, you know, I believe God brought us to that orphanage. I do believe that God wants us to be a part of helping them build the new orphanage as they're being evicted from their home. And I don't want it to be this big thing, and it's not Calvary's way, and it's not Sam's way, but we're not asking for money. I'm not going to make pledge cards. I'm not going to do any of that. If you want to know more information about that, you can talk to me, Josh Morrow, my wife. You can come up and talk to us, and you can find out how you can be a part, even a part of a missions trip. We want to put a missions trip together to go even and build, and so maybe you're a construction person, and you're like, I can dig, I can build, and I can put bricks together, and it's a simple brick building they're looking to build. But it's a need, and we're called in James, pure and undefiled religion is to take care of widows and orphans, and here's a real practical opportunity for us to take care of some orphans that are in need, and not because they gave us their sad face, but man, it just makes me want to cry when I think of those beautiful children. And we actually did. When we said goodbye, we cried for about an hour, and they cried, and we cried, and the more they cried, the more we cried, the more we cried, the more they cried, and there was a lot of crying going on. But just be in prayer. Our money goes a long ways there, so be in prayer with what you can do. But now open your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. While you're looking that up, I'm going to read a real familiar verse out of Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Jesus, right before his ascension into heaven, he gave a simple command, and I actually entitled today's lesson, "As You Are Going," because that's what the word "go" means. It doesn't just mean go and you're thinking tonight, oh, I have to go to Africa, or I have to go, I have to leave. No, it doesn't mean leave. It means as you are going home tonight, there might be opportunity to share the Lord with the person at the gas station or the grocery store or somebody in your car. The thing is it's as you are going to work, as you are going to the grocery store, as you are going to get the mail. I mean, we're to be missions-minded as we are going through this life. And so not everybody is called to leave their homes. Not everybody is called to go on short-term missions. But we're all called to make disciples. We're all called to go. And in Acts chapter 13, we're going to look at how God does that. As we look at Paul's first missionary journey, there's some key things involved in his success. So go, therefore, and make disciples. We're to be going and making disciples. We're to be going and teaching people and telling people about Jesus. And it's really not as difficult to tell somebody about Jesus as we get it in our heads. So often we think we have to be theologians and I have to know all the Bible and I have to have a degree and I have to have all this stuff. It's as simple as saying, do you know Jesus? It's kind of nice, you know, if you're going to spend any amount of time with somebody, you can ask them simple questions. Do you go to church? If they say yes, you can say where. And even with that, if they say they go to church, what a perfect opportunity to say, have you asked Jesus into your heart? I've asked that question. Sometimes they say yes, sometimes they say no. But the door's open because they go to church. And if they don't go to church, you can go, hey, want to come to mine? Because I want you to know Jesus. That he loved you, that he died for you, that he was buried, that he rose from the grave. And man, the gospel, you just said it. It's not as difficult to share. Not because we have to. And I want to make that clear that nothing that I say today is because we have to. It's because we want to. It's because we get to. It's because we have Jesus in our hearts and we're like, man, I got to share this with somebody. That's what it's about. I don't have to share Jesus. I want to share Jesus. I get to share Jesus. You get to share Jesus. So go, therefore, and make disciples. The therefore, it's because Jesus has the authority. Jesus has the authority. It's not you. It's not me. Jesus has the authority. So we go and we share his authority with the world around us. It's kind of cool, really. We're told in Scripture that the gospel that Jesus died, was buried, and rose from the dead is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God. So many people are looking for power. Power. We have power as we share the good news with the world around us. And of course, it's not our power. It's his power. It's not for our glory. It's for his glory. What a cool thing, you guys, that we actually get to be a part of what God is doing. And he says, go. Go, and as you are going, tell people about me. It's kind of cool. Well, Paul, in Acts chapter 13, it's been about 8 years in Paul's Christian life at this point. So he's not a new believer. But we find him in the church in Antioch, and it's before his first missionary journey, we would call it, as he goes out to share. And we're going to see three things in this passage that are very clear, that he is called by the Spirit of God, that he is sent by the Spirit of God, and he is filled with the Spirit of God. And you need to realize that all these things need to be in place as we obey God. Otherwise, we're doing it in our own strength, and I don't want to be anywhere in my own strength trying to accomplish the things of God. That's just weird. It's like trying to swim in a firefighter's outfit. It doesn't work. I've tried, actually. That's another story, but the thing is you got to have the right equipment. You got to be in the right place. You got to be, you know, you got to be called by God, called by the Spirit of God, sent by the Spirit, and filled with the Spirit to accomplish anything for the Spirit. Well, Acts chapter 13, verse 1 says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Menean, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So there's this group of guys, and some are prophets and some are teachers, and we're going to see that they weren't just hanging out and working and you know, kind of passing the time, going to the movies. And I'm not saying it's wrong to go to the movies. I'm not saying it's wrong to work. But we're going to see that they were busy focusing on the Lord. Because in verse 2 it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. So they were in the church, but they were active. See, it's not just enough to come to church. And I know that puts a crimp in some people's style, because we want to come and we want to slip out, and you got to realize that that's never what was intended with the church. That was never what was intended with the body of Christ. But we're to be working, we're to be active, we're to be ministering to the Lord. We're to be serving the Lord. Well, and they fasted. They were dedicated. They were setting apart their lives for the work of God, making sure that they were on track with what He had for them. That's important. If you want to be used by God, it's important to be close to God. And so I would encourage you to serve. If you're not already serving in the church, serve. You don't have to just serve in the church, though. You can serve in your neighborhood. You can help out with the elderly couple down the road and mow their lawn and wash their dishes. And you can serve the Lord in so many different ways. You can serve the Lord by raising your children up in Jesus Christ. You can serve the Lord by loving God and loving people wherever it is that you are. Make sure you are ministering to the Lord. Make sure you are serving the Lord. It says there in the latter part of verse 2, the Holy Spirit said. Now this is important. So many people think the Holy Spirit, they go, He's an it or an influence. And that's not it at all. You need to realize that the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. Once again, the Trinity, how to explain God. We serve one God, but he reveals himself in three ways as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. If I could fully explain that to you, I would, but I can't, so I'm going to stumble on my words. The thing is the Holy Spirit, he's God the Spirit. And so it's important to see him for who he is, God working in the midst of his people. And the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. As these guys were ministering to the Lord, as they were fasting and setting their lives apart for the work of God, God says, hey, I want these two. I got a plan for them other than what they're already doing. I got something else for these guys. Well, he was going to send them out. He was going to send them to reach people groups. Now, whether God is calling you to go somewhere else, or he wants you right where you are, know that we need to make sure we're in the place we are because God has said this is where he wants us to be. We don't want to just be arbitrarily, I think that's a word, choosing, you know, what we're doing. We want to be doing what we're doing because that's what God wants us to do. That's the work that he has for you. Not just because it makes good money or it's convenient, but you want to be working where God wants you to work. You want to be living where God wants you to live. You need to be doing what God has called you to do, that you're called by the Spirit of God. And the cool thing is God has called each one of you to something specific. He said, go into all the world. So he's got a different plan for each of us to reach this world. There's people you can reach that I will never be able to reach because of the position that you're in. So it's not that we all have to be pastors or teachers or no. We need people in all the different areas of business and society so that we can be a witness to the world around us. But make sure you're called and you're where you're supposed to be. When I was younger and had a full head of hair, I was trying to figure out, am I supposed to be a firefighter or in ministry? I was feeling, you know, called to ministry, and I was like, what do I do? And I had a pastor tell me, just pick one and it'll be okay. And I was like, that's just not right. Just pick one. You know, I didn't feel right about that. So I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And one day during worship, I truly love worship because it's a time where you can set aside the world, you can focus on the Lord and let everything else kind of filter away. God spoke to me and he said, Justin, I'm calling you to missions, to ministry. I waited on the Lord because I wanted to be called by the Spirit. I wanted to know that I was doing what God wanted me to do. So pray, maybe God's going to rock your guys' lives. Next week there'll be like two people here because everybody goes. Sorry, Sam, it's not my fault. No, the thing is do what God wants you to do. And maybe God is calling you to go. Maybe God, this is crazy. Maybe God's calling you to change careers. Maybe God's calling you to go on the mission field. Maybe he's, you know, I don't know. But if you're feeling a stir in your heart and you're thinking, I just gotta do this. And you know, hey, then go for it. Peter and Winnie, they knew they just had to start the orphanage. They just knew, and they put it off, and they put it off, and finally they couldn't put it off anymore, and then God just brought the kids. The thing is God will make it happen if it's supposed to be. Whatever that is in your life, but you want to be called by the Spirit. Well, verse 3, then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. They sent them out. I would like to point out that we need to do everything through prayer and fasting. We need to make big decisions in life through prayer and knowing that we're really doing what God wants and not just an emotional, you know, moment where we think, oh, this is so exciting. I just need to... No, we need to pray about it. We need to know that God is telling you, especially if it's something big. Don't just run out and be like, Pastor Justin said. Whoa. No, I want you to pray. I want you to pray and I want you to seek the Lord and God will guide you. He will direct you. He will speak to you. He will confirm in your hearts what he's telling you to do. Well, verse 4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So the second point is they were sent by the Spirit, being sent by the Holy Spirit. So they were called by the Spirit, they were separated out by the Spirit of God, and then they were sent out by the Spirit. So they could leave knowing that God was with them. Nothing scares me more than being where God's not. And a lot of times people will ask, you know, and question my judgment on taking my wife to certain places around the world. And the Lord has blessed us with the opportunity to do missions. And in fact, here in a few days, we're leaving for Belize. I get to teach at a Bible boot camp down there. Pray for that. Last year, like 30 people gave their life to the Lord. It's a fantastic opportunity to share Jesus. But it can be dangerous. And people will question, well, why would you take your wife there? Why would you do that? And my answer is, I just want to be where God wants me. And I'd rather be in Belize or in Africa or in Mexico if that's where God wants me. It'd be more scary to be here in Chico if this isn't where the Lord wants me. And so make sure you're going with the Spirit, that you're being sent by the Spirit, that you're going with his approval and with his guidance, so that as you travel, as you venture in to whatever God has for you, you're doing it because God wants you to and he's with you. Don't get ahead of him, don't get behind him, stick right beside him. Well, these guys, they travel back then was very dangerous, but Paul just knew that God was with him. Paul knew that even in the worst moments of you know, shipwreck on the immediate, you know, horizon for them, that he was going to be okay because he was with the Lord and he was doing what God wanted them to do. Well, verse 5, and when they had arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, that also they also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus. Well, as they were going, they preached the word of God. As they were going, they shared about Jesus Christ. That wasn't their final destination. They were just cruising through and they got to share Jesus with people. So often we think, well, when I get to the church and I'm ministering to the kids, then I can tell them about Jesus. Well, no, it's as we are going. It's as we're getting to the location that we're going to minister to. It was so cool in Africa because we have to spend a lot of time in the matatus, the taxis. And oh, that was so scary, by the way. Nothing compares to driving in Africa. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. I thought Mexico was a little bit crazy. Mexico was like Disneyland. The drivers in Africa were like, I mean, they would just pull out and swerve through traffic and everybody's doing it. It was like this crazy, all for nothing, just, I mean, Lisa's like sleeping and she was like totally at peace and I'm like gripping the, you know, and we'd walk through the markets and I had peace, wasn't worried, but I was scared to get back into the taxi. The thing is, I totally lost track. Sorry. Oh, telling people about Jesus. Sorry, I still haven't adjusted to the time zone, so I do apologize for the weird things that I've been saying. Pastor Sam's probably not going to let me teach for a while after tonight. It's as we were going in the taxi rides, you know, I thought this might be my last moment on earth. And so I got to share Jesus with a lot of the taxi drivers. And they speak English there, so it worked out good. I didn't have to use, you know, hand gestures and whistles or anything like that. But I figured it's like as we're going, it's not just going to the orphanage and then I'm going to share Jesus with the kids, or I'm going to the Bible college where Jacob Cleavy's at and I'll get to talk about Jesus there. It's as you are going, share Jesus. Take the opportunity as you are going. And that's what they did. They took the opportunity and they preached the word of God in the synagogues. They went where they could go and talk about Jesus. When it's appropriate, talk about Jesus. When the moment is right, talk about Jesus. Take every opportunity to talk about Jesus. Well, they come across this guy, and it says that he was a sorcerer, a false prophet. Now, one thing that I see here in the scripture is that there's opposition from the enemy. There is a real devil. There are demons. There is opposition to the work of God. And we see that here in his journey, that he comes across this sorcerer, and we're going to see how this guy stands in the way and opposes the word of God. Know that as you are going, things are going to come up. Things are going to happen because the enemy wants to destroy the work of God. You have to be careful. You have to be on your toes. Lisa and I know that when we're doing something for God, we have to be ready for the enemy to attack, because all of a sudden we're getting frustrated with each other and an argument arises. And it's like, you know, wait a minute. That's the silliest thing ever. Why am I upset about that? It's because the enemy wants us to argue so that we won't pay attention to the things of God. Or the vehicle breaks down. Our vehicle broke down in Africa, and we were kind of stranded on the side of the road. And it was after some great ministry. And the enemy wants to try to destroy things. Well, It was just another opportunity for us. So seven of us crammed into like a four-person vehicle. And they don't wear seatbelts there. And they drive like maniacs. The thing is it's just another opportunity is as you are going. So be ready for opposition. Be ready for the enemy of our souls to try to stir things up. You got to know that Satan doesn't want you to have a good marriage. So if you're doing something for God, he's going to attack your marriage. Know that that is true. But this is the deal. If you submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you, James tells us. He will flee from you. We don't have to give in to the enemy. We have a God who is so much greater. And when we're going to see Paul here, he's not sidetracked by this opposition. He's not hindered by it. He's not holding, you know, his hands in his hair going, what do I do now? I thought I was sent by the Spirit of God. And no, he deals with it. He takes it in stride. I feel powerful. Verse 6. I'm so immature. It's now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. So this guy wants to hear the word of God. This God actually searches out Paul and says, hey, I want you to come talk to me. But there's this sorcerer still in the picture. The cool thing is people will approach you when they hear about you and your faith in God. When they hear and see how you're living for God, people will come to you and say, tell me about what you have. I love that. And those are the greatest moments ever when you literally have done nothing and somebody comes up and says, hey, tell me about Jesus. You're like, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Well, verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, this is actually where the first time his name is switched. That's kind of cool. As he enters out into ministry, his name is changed. Filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. And so we have called by the Spirit, sent by the Spirit, and here we have filled with the Spirit. There is some debate among Christians on the filling of the Spirit, and I don't want to spend too much time on that today because I don't see as big of a struggle with it as some. Some people say that you have to go through a separate experience to be filled with the Spirit. This is the deal. The Bible makes it absolutely clear that when you receive Christ, you are sealed with the Spirit of God. You receive the Spirit of God. The Bible also makes it clear that you need to be filled with the Spirit. And the word for be filled is be being filled. That we need to be continuously filled with the Spirit of God. So it's not a one-time act where I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm good to go. It is kind of like a car that needs gas. I mean, you guys get this, right? Your car doesn't just run forever. Your kids may think it runs forever. But the thing is no, it needs to be being filled with fuel. That makes sense. We need to be being filled, if that makes sense, with the Spirit of God. We need to continually be going back to God saying, God, fill me, use me, fill me, use me, fill me. We need to be going to God. And we see Paul here being filled with the Holy Spirit. We will get a fresh and exciting and a new filling of the Spirit sometimes for specific ministries. Not that we didn't have the Spirit before, not that Paul didn't have the Spirit before, but he got a new filling of the Spirit to do something specific for the Lord. And so it's important that when you wake up in the morning, I would encourage you to pray something like, God, help me be the person that I'm supposed to be today. Fill me with your Spirit that I will be the person that you want me to be, that you can use me. I mean, the last thing we want is God to show up and say, I need to use you to share. And we're empty. Our tank is empty. No. We need to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be walking in the Spirit. Walking with Jesus in all that we do so that when we need to, He can just supercharge us and then use us. Well, Paul is filled with the Spirit, looked intently at him, and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Make sure, if you say something like that, God wants you to say that. Especially to your boss. No, the thing is, we want to make sure. We want to make sure we're walking in the Spirit, that we're filled with the Spirit when we rebuke somebody. But not that we should be walking around looking for opportunity to rebuke. I would say more often than not, the times that we're filled with the Spirit is to encourage somebody. We see Jesus doing that all the time. Even when he was physically exhausted, he would find strength. He even told his apostles, the disciples, he said, I have food which you do not know about. When he was with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, and they were like, who gave him food? He wasn't talking about physical food. He was talking about the filling of the Spirit. He was talking about being charged by the Father and having that energy that can only come from God to continue on. To share, to encourage, to draw people to the truth. He definitely knew. He was filled with the Spirit. He could say, oh, full of deceit and fraud and son of the devil. And I mean, those are harsh words. But that's what this guy needed to hear. That's what this guy needed to hear because he was a sorcerer. He knew he was following the devil. He knew he was trying to distort and pervert the truth about God. It's kind of interesting. When I was in Bible college, I took a semester of Bible college up at Multnomah Bible College in Portland, and a guy came by the name of Timoteo Shoefoot, and his family lives in South America in the jungles, and his dad was a high shaman. Timoteo actually grew up in a Christian home because the father, through some missionaries, started sharing the truth with Timoteo's father. And it was interesting as he talks about his culture and he talks about the demons that they would ask into their heart, that the demons would lie and say, the Creator God. And they would know, they would see this big white light, and they knew that there was this God, but the demons would say, He hates you. And they would lie. They're the father of lies. And Timoteo's father actually started to doubt this and ended up giving his life to the Lord. And Timoteo grew up in a Christian home, and he came, and of course it was all translated from their language. And the thing is the enemy wants to twist and distort the truth about our God. He wants to twist and distort the fact that our God is a loving God and that He's got a plan for our lives and that He is the God of light and love. The cool thing is we get to be light and love to the world around us. We get to be Jesus in a dark world. Like those missionaries that brought the gospel to Timoteo Shoefoot's father, to that dark village. We can bring the gospel to Chico. Jacob's kind of a dark place, if you haven't noticed. You go pretty much anywhere in the world, and they know about Chico. But it's not for the reasons that I want them to know about Chico. People come here from all over the world because Chico has a reputation for its parties and for that lifestyle. But you know what? God can use what the world means for evil. He can use for good because he's bringing people from all over the world, or, you know, people from all over the world are coming to Chico to live this lifestyle that they've heard about. They might just meet you. We get to witness to the whole world here at Chico. There's people from all over the world that come to this little town. Kind of an odd place, to be honest with you. But here we are in a college town with people that need Jesus. It's pretty exciting, really. Know that there's going to be opposition. Know that the enemy wants to get in the way. But make sure that you're called by the Spirit, that you're doing what God wants you to do, that you're sent by the Spirit, that you're going with His power and His presence, and that you're filled with the Spirit so that what you're saying is what God wants you to say, what you're doing is what God wants you to do. And then simply just share what God is doing. People get so sideways about witnessing and how to do it. Just share what God is doing. I don't think we really have time tonight, but Paul goes on and he shares with the people here just simply what God has done. He goes into a little bit of the Jewish history and he talks about Jesus and he just shares what has happened. I would challenge you to do the same thing when you're trying. Well, what do I say when I witness? Just tell them about what Jesus has done. What Jesus has done in Scripture? What He's done in your life? It's really that simple. It's funny how you can work the gospel in. What'd you do this weekend? Or what? Maybe tomorrow at work. People are going to ask, well, so what did you do last night? I went to church. You went to church? Yeah, and we talked about Jesus and the fact that He died for me. He was buried and rose from the grave. And they're going to go, huh? And you're going to go, yeah, do you know Jesus? It's that simple. You can't just blurt it out. They're not going to beat you, hopefully. But the thing is you can do that. You can ask people to come to church. You can invite people. You can share. You can tell people, this thing is killing me. You can talk about what Jesus is doing. I must breathe heavy or something. I don't know. You can talk about Jesus. So far, it's legal in our country. But a lot of Christians are silent. And I've been guilty of being silent when I should have opened my mouth. I've been guilty of not sharing when I could have or should have. And maybe that's you tonight, and you're thinking, man, I feel a little beat up because I'm just not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Hey, I don't want you to feel beat up. I just want you to change. I want you to seize the moments that you have from now on and to leave here saying, all right, God, am I, you know, what's my calling? He may say, you're right where I want you to be. Okay, good. If not, change. Pray about it. Fast, pray. Don't just make rash decisions. And then be sent by the Spirit. Go, do what He wants you to do. And then as you're filled with the Spirit, share what God has done in your life, what God has done for you through the cross. He says in verse 30, he says, as he was talking about Jesus, well, verse 29, he says, Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, concerning Jesus, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. It's so important to share that Jesus died and that he rose from the grave. We don't want to just talk generally about God. We want to be specific about the gospel. Because remember, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's not Jonah and the whale, although that's a great story. But it's the gospel that brings everlasting life and the belief in it. And people turning their hearts and following Jesus Christ. Paul simply shares. He simply declares what God has done. And he shares the gospel. Paul later on will say that he desired to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. A guy that knew the Old Testament scriptures better than anybody probably ever besides Jesus. He kept it simple. So don't worry about trying to explain. When people come knocking on your door and they want to get off into big tangents about all these crazy things. I like to debate. And I used to, when people would knock on my door and say, they'd try to tell me they knew the way, I'd say, come on in. My wife would run. And I wanted to debate, and they'd bring things up, and oh yeah, let's talk about it. And God kind of sat me down and said, Justin, stop it. And God said, just talk about me. Talk about Jesus. Talk about the cross. Talk about the resurrection. When they get off on these tangents and say, well, oh, what about this? Be like, I don't care. Who do you believe Jesus is? Because that's what saves lives. That's what changes hearts. So stick to the gospel. Stick to Jesus. And don't let people start, well, what about? Jesus saves. That's what's important. Called by the Spirit, sent by the Spirit, and filled with the Spirit. Hopefully today you're walking in the Spirit. Hopefully today you know you're where God wants you to be. If not, it's time to do some serious praying. It's time to do some fasting. And it's time to focus on the Lord and say, what do you want me to do? Because we want to be where God wants us. And there is no greater place than where God wants you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for tonight. And Lord, in my spaciness, I just ask that you would make things clear. That you would speak to each of our hearts that we would be where you want us to be. Lord, if there's anybody here that's not where you want them to be, speak to them. Boldly speak to us. We give you permission, Lord, to tell us where to be and what to do. We ask that you would guide and direct us by the power of your Holy Spirit. That we would be living in obedience to you every day. That we would be walking in your Spirit, that as we are going, we would be sharing you with the world around us. And Jesus, I pray for every believer in this room that you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. That we would be empowered and emboldened to live for you. That the world around us just will be blown away by you flowing through our lives. Lord, whether you're calling us to missions in other countries or missions in our neighborhoods, Lord, help us to be the person that you've called us to be. Lord, we do pray for the orphanage there in Nairobi. Lord, we do pray that you would provide with them a home, however it is you choose, not through guilt, not through manipulation, but that you would provide. Lord, we know you have them in your hands, and nothing is too big for you. Lord, that you would heal their broken hearts, and even though we see their joy, you would continue to heal their broken hearts. Now with everybody's eyes closed and nobody looking around, if you're here today, whether for the first time, whether you go to a different church all the time, whether you come all the time, if you're here today and you realize that Jesus died for you, that He was buried, that He rose from the grave, and that He can give you everlasting life, and you want to receive salvation tonight, you want to receive Jesus, you want to know you're saved, you want to be called by the Spirit, you want to be sent by the Spirit, and you want to be filled by the Spirit and used by God, raise your hand tonight. I'll lead you in a simple prayer where you say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Raise it high so I can see. Yeah, I see that hand there and that hand there. You can put them down. Is there anybody else? For you that raised your hand, pray this prayer in your heart. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's not the hand. It's you truly meaning this and believing it in your heart. You can just pray this in your heart to God. Pray these words after me. God, thank you for loving me. Jesus, thank you for the cross, for dying, for raising from the grave. I give you my life. I ask that you come into mine. I want to live with you. I want to live for you. So fill me with your Spirit. Guide and direct me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.